Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your favorite time of the week where you pull your podcasting app out, you get something cold to drink unless you're on your way to work in the morning, you download the crazy sheet, and you get ready to talk some college football. I'm Mark, and I'm here in the College Football Podcasting Studio, and Scotty, I think, is actually at home today. Scotty, how the hell are you?
And I'm good. I've been working local for a couple of days. My son's birthday is tomorrow.
Nice.
Get to be at home. So, teenager. Got his first middle school football meeting tonight. So, go to get fitted for the pads and everything. So, he'll be ready to roll.
That is exciting. That's exciting. Oh, Scotty, some, you know, wild news is you're coming into the, since the last time we recorded, Colorado has announced that they are leaving the Pac-12, which I don't know that even hit the radar with anybody in the Pac-12. Colorado, I looked today, they are, since they have left the Big 12 to move to the Pac-12, I think they're 29-76 in league play since they left the conference 10-some-odd years ago.
And Mike McIntyre won, what, four of those games?
Something like
that. Or five of those games in a year.
Yeah.
And then they promptly fired him.
Oh, but man, so they're moving on. Jim Harbaugh looks to be suspended for four games to open up the Michigan season. I don't even know what that is about, but their schedule opening up is so easy, I don't think it's really going to matter. This Michigan roster is deep. And so it's, you know, college football is getting close. Camps are opening up for just about everybody. Should be open, I would think, by the end of this week as we record this on August the 1st. As we get ready for some week zero games and week one, I am damned excited. How about yourself?
Me too, my man. Harbaugh didn't properly shut down during COVID. He just kept on rolling. But he's like, he was cheating. You ain't cheating. You're not trying, baby. I go by 1980s Big Eight football, baby. Let's go. If you're not cheating, you're not trying. Let's go.
You need some practice. We're just talking about practice, right? Just practice.
Just talking about practice. I mean, what's the big deal?
Anyway,
it's funny. It's going to cost COVID. It's going to cost Harbaugh four games, and it cost Arizona State just had to fire Herm. They went on and fired Herm because he was the only one actually working during COVID, it sounded like. So it's still wild to me that we almost didn't play football 3 years ago, but on to this year, baby, fired up. We'll get rolling with the ACC. This league is a mess to me, so it's going to be kind of fun. I think there is some teams that are going to surprise some people this year, good and bad.
Yeah, I agree.
I think some teams may go the wrong way, and I think some teams may come up that people aren't expecting. Big part. ACC, no more divisions, so we get the top two. Talk about a big move for a four-team playoff. I like the ACC here. You get a Clemson-Florida State rematch, and they've each only got a loss or maybe two. Man, you talk about getting in, they're in. I mean, let's say Clemson loses, and that's their only loss is to Florida State. They come back, and let's say Florida State's let's say they're 11-1. Let's even say they're 10-2, but they lost to LSU. And the winner of that game is going to make the playoff. I'm telling you. They'll make the playoff if it shakes out just like that. So I think good move for ACC here to do away with the divisions and try to get the best teams and supplement them in.
Yeah. So today we're going to do two. We're going to do a double episode. We're going to do the ACC and the Pac-12, kind of like we back into the Big 12 and the Big 10 together. So we're going to try to run through this. I'll throw it out there. Let's get this thing rolling. Scotty, when you're looking at the ACC, it's extremely top-heavy in Clemson and Florida State. Both of these teams are – you can still get plus money on both of these teams to win the conference. The way I bet it was is I actually bet both of these teams. I got Florida State at plus 175, and I got Clemson at plus 150. So I'm looking to hedge myself into making a profit on that game because I think both of those teams are going to be in it. I think they will rematch and play this game again. After they play it earlier on in the season. The first game they play is at Clemson. And Florida State's – and the reason I went this way instead of going with an over in their schedules is Florida State could easily finish September and be 2-2. I mean, they open up in Orlando against LSU, and then they have to go on the road to Boston College and to Clemson in back-to-back weeks to get through September. And then after that, their schedule is extremely manageable. Obviously, they're going to have Miami and Florida at the back end of their schedule that's there and that one little road trip to Pitt. But I don't trust Miami or Florida in what's going on, and so I could easily see this team being 10-2, being back in the ACC championship game against a Clemson football team, or they could even be 11-1, but we'll see. But I like Florida State and Clemson are the two teams to bet to win the championship, but I don't necessarily like either one of their season win totals.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, although I really like Clemson. And I know that sounds strange. Here's the reason I don't want to bet their over-under win total. I believe that the QB play is going to be significantly better for them. I mean, at the end of the day, Garrett Riley did a wonderful job last year coordinating that offense. And look, I know Dykes is an offensive guy, so it's not all on him. But Riley's done a nice job everywhere he's been. I expect Plubnik to play much better than we saw the combination of he and Ungalalele last year. So if that's the case, Clemson is a legitimate national championship football team. He's a great athlete, so he can run the football, getting out in space. They tried to keep him from doing that. I think you're going to see Riley more. Hey, make some plays with your feet when I spread dudes out all over the field. So the real question mark, look, Shipley's a really, really good player. Is it Mafa or Mahafa? I can't remember the backup kids. He ran for almost 1,000 yards too. Really good player. I think they got great backs. I like their offensive line. Love the defense. They recruit really well, always have on that defensive side of the football. Plubnik's the key. Yeah. The reason I'm not taking them is that it is a risk. You don't know what you're going to get. But I really like them for a natty, for a make-a-playoff kind of role. That is a big deal. I think you're getting, 375, 370, something like that, for them to make the playoff. That is a legit opportunity. If Plubnik's good, look, you're not talking about you got to bet a ton of money to make good money. It's worth the risk there. And you're getting odds, not laying odds. I really like that number because the bottom line is if this team goes 12-1, they're gonna make the playoff. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, I like that. I'm very interested. You know, the one knock I've had on Clemson the last couple of years has been that they don't have, we've talked about this ad nauseum. They just didn't have receivers that could separate. I mean, they've got guys that are in the NFL right now that are wide receivers that are about to get their second contracts, like big contracts, right? Yeah. And we haven't seen that. But I also wonder, how fucked up do you think DJ Ungalele's head was over the last two seasons? I mean, that guy last year, look at this conference last year, how different it is from last year to this year. Last year, this conference had DJU, who was a Heisman, you know, candidate front runner. You had, the kid at NC State was going to be a Heisman front runner. That didn't work out. And so it's a massive shift in what's gone on here. But I think DJ was just bad headspace, man. Super head trash. And they finally had to pull him and set him down. And Klubnik, I don't think they really wanted to cut that kid loose. Because I agree with you. You lose him, I don't know what they had behind him. And so that's where I always sat with Clemson. And then in the bowl game, you know, it is what it is in that spot. But I like Klubnik. I watched the kid play in high school. I think his game elevates. But the other thing, too, is I think Riley, that offense has got to evolve. TCU's offense was a lot more creative last year. I mean, where are you going to see somebody like Quentin Diggs doing a stick dig, Quentin Johnson doing a stick dig route? That guy's 6'4", 220, and runs 23 miles an hour. You know, and so he created space and just didn't make him high point balls all the time. And that's what Riley's done a pretty good job of. And for the fact that Dabo went outside the family tree to bring in the offensive and defensive coordinator this year is a good sign to me, because Dabo has been real slow to evolve to where we're at in college football. And I think him recognizing that, and then it's also real quiet out of Clemson. So I like Clemson to win the conference. I bet them both plus money. I have not bet them to win to make the Final Four yet, but I probably sprinkle a little bit there. And I'm going to take a little bit of maybe them to win the Natty with the plus. I think you can get it up to plus 15-1. And so I don't dislike that at all. But I do think the conference is really top heavy. I don't see anybody else in this conference that I could see contending to win, barring massive injuries to, you know, the quarterback play at Florida State or Clemson. I don't see anybody else that can rise up out of the ashes to show up in Charlotte to play for this one to win it.
The only team I'll tell you that I think can rise up, and that does get me to my first over-under play, but before we leave Clemson, I want to say Look, to tell you what I think about Tony Elliott's offense at Clemson and what this offense was like before, look at how bad Brennan Armstrong was last year. Yeah, and we're going to talk about him in a little bit too. But just look at how bad he was in that offense. Yeah. I mean, that guy was incredible. He and Ketan Thompson were like a video game. Both of them come back, and both of them were awful last year, make no plays whatsoever. The bottom line is coaching. It is coaching, and I think Riley gets them into space, opens this offense up. They got two explosive backs. One of them can really catch the football. And I think, man, you see all kinds of stuff. And he got a quarterback who can run.
Yeah.
And I just think in this offense, it's got a chance to put up big numbers. They got a chance to open some eyes, much like TCU did, because at the end of the day, this is a hell of a lot better roster than TCU was rolling out last year. Top to bottom, it ain't close. But at the end of the day, skill positions, it's not close.
Yeah.
And so I think this is a really good opportunity. So the one team I think can step up, and this is my first over-under play, I like Pitt. I think several things. First, I like Dracovic coming over from BC. He's reuniting with his old offensive coordinator at BC. That's a big part. He put up much better numbers under Cignetti. Cignetti's not new to Pitt. This is his second stint at Pitt. So I think he knows what he gets and what he can do. I really like this marriage combined with a hard-nosed football team that Narduzzi always puts out. They're never the most talented team. It always seems like he underachieves. I don't think anybody saw those dudes winning 9 games last year. That they're a good football team, a well-coached football team. Looks like they got enough players back that I think they're going to be able to do some things. They could be a surprise football team, but at the end of the day, I really like those guys on an over-under win total, playing the over for Pitt. I know most people are shocked that I'm taking over, but it's worth laying the -140 to me at 6.5. I think this team wins 8 or 9 games. Because you look at this schedule, they missed Miami, they missed Clemson, right? And then they get Wake at home, they get Notre Dame at home, they get Duke at home, they get Virginia Tech at home, and they get West Virginia at home. They're on the road at West Virginia. I misread my notes. They're at Virginia Tech, they're at Wake, and they're at Notre Dame. They're not going to beat Notre Dame either way. They're at Duke. Every one of those road games is winnable except Notre Dame, but they get Florida State at home. They get Syracuse at home. They get North Carolina at home, and they get Cincinnati at home. They win those home games, and this is going to be an 8 or 9-win football team. And then you got Wofford out of conference. I mean, you got some games they can win. They're going to drill West Virginia, I think, week 3 in the Border War. I think they're going to hammer West Virginia. So at the end of the day, I like this football team. I think they're a team that can sneak up and beat some people. And at the end of the day, I like Narduzzi. I like his offense coordinator reuniting with Dracovic, and I think they may put up some good numbers.
I like this. Dracovic, when he was healthy at BC, was making some waves up there. And so I can get down with what you're selling on this a little bit. I haven't bet it yet just because the numbers are a little stretched out, but in the books that I have access to. But, yeah, I like Pitt a lot. I'm really looking forward to when they pound the shit out of the Big 12, the week 2 and 3 when they beat Cincy in West Virginia in back-to-back games. And that West Virginia game is a huge rivalry for these teams. I'm glad to see they're playing it again. I don't know if it's on the schedule in the future, but I like the spot. Staying in the ACC.
Mark, before we leave, talking about Cignetti and Dracovic reuniting, he threw for 25, 58, 61% completion, 17 touchdowns and 5 interceptions and 20 under Cignetti. He does that this year in Pitt, and they may win. They may be one of the guys in the championship game. They're going to be a good football team if he puts up those kinds of numbers again. So, anyway, on to the next team.
Two teams that I am going under on for different reasons, but I have no love for Wake Forest this season whatsoever. You know, they run that slow mesh offense that Hartman did a really good job with when he was there, but you're constantly in a dirty pocket, and their defense is not strong whatsoever. So this year, having to break in a new quarterback, over-under win totals at 6.5 in this one, and you can get it now at about minus 115. I like Wake Forest in the under in this situation. And then the next one I got is Virginia. Virginia is fucking terrible. I mean, their over-under is 3.5, now juiced up to 130. I snagged a little bit at 120 a couple of weeks ago. But I'm with you with Tony Elliott. I have no idea what's going on over there. And their roster's bad offensively. I got no faith in what they're doing. And so and their schedule's not that easy. And so when you look at this one, it's mind-boggling to me to think that how's UVA going to get to 4 wins? Because I actually think there's some teams that are improved in this conference this year, but their records may not dictate it when the season's over.
You mean like Duke?
Yes,
Duke
exactly
is a good football
like
team.
Duke.
I think they're significantly better, and I think that over under win total at 6 is right on the money.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like if you look at that schedule, you're like, man, how are these dudes going to do that again? But they are a better football team. They are a better football team than they were last year. But I also think they may have snuck up on some guys, thinking, this is the same old Duke. Ain't gonna be that way. You get hit in the mouth. The next year you come back and you're like, all right, we're gonna get these dudes back. We're not supposed to be losing to Duke. You know, so we'll see. But from a roster standpoint, they're a better football team than they were last year. I just, man, it's hard for me looking at that schedule to figure out how they're gonna get back there. Another team that I really like, and I'm gonna stay with the same thing that I'm saying about coaching. We're going to talk about Brennan Armstrong. I said we'd talk about him. I like NC State going over. That number, I believe, is at 6.5. Right now, yeah, 6.5. Again, I'm willing to lay the juice to go over at the minus 140, 145, depending on your book. I'm willing to lay that number simply for this. Brennan Armstrong might have been the best quarterback in the league that year. Now, I know Hartman had a really good year too, but he played great. I mean, he was really outstanding. He reunites with his offensive coordinator, and that's a big deal. It's Robert and I who did a really good job at Syracuse last year. Gary Schrader did really well in this offense. And NC State is one of those teams that just always seems to overachieve and overachieve. And I feel like he gets the most out of the team. And look, at the end of the day, they're flying under the dark. There's not nearly as much stress on these guys. Doran always seems like he does a good job as there is on Mac Brown and on North Carolina. Certainly not as much as Miami and those guys have got going on. I mean, Lord, they got a NIL guy about to get arrested for fraud, evidently, or income tax evasion or whatever. I mean, it's a total mess down there. Those things weigh. You can't tell me some of those kids in Miami aren't like, well, am I going to get my money? A lot of those dudes are there for money. I mean, at the end of the day, you're paying people. If they stop getting paid, man, you talk about a mess. It could fall apart at Miami fast. I just don't think that's going to go on at NC State. They got a lot of players back. Defensively, they always do a really, really good job, and they always run the football pretty well. So I like NC State. I think they got a chance to surprise some people in the league. Could not agree more on both your unders. I think both of those teams are really, really going to struggle this year. The other team that
I know where you're going.
I can't decide on Miami. I just can't. I think 7.5 right about where they ought to be, you know. So I keep thinking their offense coordinator change is going to be an improvement and the quarterback's going to get back to what he was 2 years ago. But how much of that is change from the head coach? And you know, at the end of the day, Rhett, whatever his name is, that was the offense coordinator for them. I mean, he had free reign of the offense because defense Diaz was really running defense as much as anything. So it's a huge shift in Miami, and I think he's got to put up. You know, I got to see him put up numbers before I buy back into Van Dyke. Even though I think he's a really, really good player. So that's where I'm at, kind of on the ACC. I think everybody else, their numbers are kind of right where I think they're going to finish.
So let me ask you this question, talking about Miami. I have come to the conclusion that Mario Cristobal is not a very good coach. And I've listened to some different guys that I like in the media talking about how he micromanages stuff, like all the way down to when he was at Oregon. He literally had to approve every graphic that they were going to post on social media, which I was like, man, if you got that kind of time, holy cow. And but the dude can recruit. The roster at Oregon was solid. His roster at Miami is much better than when he got there. I kind of think he may be Jimbo Fisher. He can recruit. He can get the players on campus, and it looks good on paper. But once it comes time for game day, you know, unless he's got a difference maker like Jimbo had in James, I don't know if he can get over the hump. I mean, I bet A&M over 7.5 wins. That's not a stretch. I mean, that's an 8-4 team, right? But this Miami team is super confusing to me. And I Josh Gattis left. He's gone. And there's a lot of people that thought he was going to be toxic in Miami. Well, he's up at Maryland now, which totally pisses me off because I want to bet on Maryland in the Big Ten, and I'm not a big Josh Gattis fan. But
yeah, so I'm out. Me too.
And so it's one of those things. But looking at this Miami roster, it's not bad. They did a good job through the portal. Travis Van Dyke 2 years ago was exciting. And so I'm really looking forward to that game, week two, week three, September 9, whatever it is, when Miami and Texas A&M match up in Miami to see if anybody rolls out there. So, yeah, I like NC State. I haven't bet them yet. I don't know if I'll play that. But I do look to play NC State in some hard-nosed spots. You're going to laugh. I kind of like UConn against NC State week one. And I'm just hoping everybody's just going to, like, sit there and go, oh, it's an NC State versus a UConn team that blows, and not realize that UConn team's actually much better than what people think it is. And the other game I like James Madison week two against Virginia, if you're just trying to pick some nuggets out there. Because James Madison last year came in Division I and wrecked shop on folks. And this is an opportunity for them to get to punch Big Brother in the mouth. These two teams are not that far apart in the state of Virginia. And I like James Madison to get it done here. I think they may actually have a better roster than Virginia does currently. But, yeah, the ACC is probably the least interesting conference in the country to me this season. I don't know how much I'll watch. I do think they've got some good top-end talent. But top to bottom, it's not that great. And UNC with Drake May, you know, they're talking about him being the top player drafted quarterback-wise next year. Maybe him and Caleb Williams. Chizik's done an awful job with this defense, and I don't know if it's that he can't get some dogs in there, and then you lose the – you know, Phil Longo's moved on to Wisconsin. A lot of hype around that and a lot of hype around Wisconsin, and then you bring in Chip Lindsey to UNC, and I don't know that I like the move, so I'm very much hold and watch to see what's going to happen with North Carolina.
Well, you know, that you're going to love this. So they first year they brought in a new DC, brought him over from that – defensive wrecking house of Indiana. And although I do like Charlton Warren, I do think he's a pretty good coach. Chizik kind of taking more in an advisory role. They got a couple of quote unquote co-coordinators, but Warren's going to be the guy that calls the plays, I believe. Here's the difference for me. I think they downgraded an offense coordinator significantly. I'm not a gigantic Chip Lindsey fan. And so I think I'm going to sell on this. I think this team's talented. Mac Brown, another one of these guys that can recruit. He is getting older, but at the end of the day, I think this over-under win total's right where it is. If there is a team I could see falling under, it's these guys. I mean, that over-under win total is at, what, 8.5, isn't that right? I could see these guys winning 7 games. I really could. You get the end of the schedule, Duke at home, at Clemson, at State. Yeah, you bet your bottom dollar I could see them losing 2 out of 3 of those. And, you know, anybody going to be surprised they lose to Miami at home? They lose at Pitt. They play Minnesota at home. They play neutral field in South Carolina, first ball game. There's a lot. It ain't hard for me to see if they struggle offensively at all that this team could lose 4 or 5 games.
Whew, now we're getting somewhere. So the ACC to me, they said, not very interesting. It's a odd conference. You know, they've gone through the TV contract deal. They're kind of flirting with, are they going to let the Magnificent Seven have more of the money or what they're going to do? I have no idea, but I am just, and I could easily see the SEC in the dark grabbing North Carolina, Duke, Florida State and Clemson and putting them in the SEC umbrella. And it, you do that in the ACC, you might as well be CUSA at that point, because there's not a whole lot of fanfare that rolls around that. One thing I do want to bring up, Scotty, we didn't talk about it, but our man is still coaching. He will be rocking the 335 in the Carrier Dome this year, as Rocky Long will be 73 years old as the new defensive coordinator for Syracuse University. And I am kind of looking forward to this because, you know, Syracuse last year went away from the running gun that they had been running, more that Art Briles style with Dino Babers, and bringing Garrett Schrader. And Schrader had a great season last year. Now, granted, he's got a new OC, but I think Schrader's pretty exciting. I'm kind of interested in Syracuse to watch, but I don't have any play on him at this point. But I am looking forward to seeing Rocky Long defense in the ACC.
That should be fun. I told you my thoughts on this. I have no knowledge of this whatsoever, but this feels like a little payback. He recommended Zach Arnett for that job a couple of years ago. He had committed to going to New Mexico to help. Arnett stayed for about 8 minutes when he got the offer. He accepted the job and then got offered the Mississippi State defense coordinator job, and he bailed. And I think that was a good decision for him, pretty clearly. I think this is a little bit of Rocky Long. Hey, let me come make it up to you. I'll coach for a year or two for you, and we'll get this thing right. So, because I think Babers needed, I think he needed that. And I think it's going to be a big part of it. They've got to get better defensively, and I think this will be interesting to see how that works. And now, on to what I think may be, Mark, the most fun league that nobody's going to watch this entire year, the Pac-12, baby. Look, in 2 years, we're not even going to know where to find them. I don't even know if you can. I mean, all those games on the Pac, I own every sports package you can physically get. And I seriously was looking last year. I couldn't find the Pac-12 network. I'm like, why the hell do I not have this anymore? I'm like, I've got 9 subscription services. I'm like, how in the world can I not find this? And then they sport out today, hey, we're going streaming service on Apple's our plan. Oh, but it's a tiered service. That is a complete recipe for disaster, Mark. Total disaster. Hell, these schools don't even watch their teams play. The only people that are going to pay for an Apple subscription going to be a bunch of SEC and Big Ten fans that want to watch football all night.
And you know what's crazy? There's some really good teams in the Pac-12 this year. And like
great teams.
And the quarterback play in the Pac-12 this year is going to be off the chain. I mean, you got DJs up there at Oregon. Oregon State, I think he's going to win it. Bo Nix is at Oregon. You got the Heisman Trophy winner at USC. You've got that freshman coming in.
You got Penix at Washington. You got the kid back at Utah. You can go on and on. And look, the kid at Arizona,
Jay DeLora, fun to watch, man.
He is all over the place. I mean, it really does have really good quarterback play. So, it's fantastic. I think this league's going to be super fun to watch. And unfortunately, a lot of people aren't going to be able to see him. That's just the bottom line.
Yeah, got no idea. So, yeah, the Pac-12 moving out west, whatever's going to come with the Pac-12, I do not – if the Pac-12 does not have something sustainable in place within the next, I would say, 3 weeks, it's going to go completely dormant, and then I think the Pac-12 just implodes by the time you get to the end of the year.
I would love to really know what the SEC – and, look, there's about 5 people in America that really know what's going on these calls. I would love to know what the SEC and the Big 12 are discussing. I mean, aren't you really at this point, aren't they really think, all right, how big can we physically get? Because look, I don't care what Florida State's got to pay. I don't care what Clemson's got to pay. They would rip for to get in the SEC. I'll be candid. I don't know if they want Florida State, and clearly not because of talent or school. I think there's going to be a lot of fight within the league to not take them because of recruiting. I don't think nearly as much for Clemson, because Clemson's already a brand and they're recruiting. Florida State's trying to build back. Auburn makes a living in that area where they are. A lot going on down there. But I do think North Carolina and Duke, or North Carolina, Virginia, man, all of a sudden this gets to be a really big basketball league, and just – it, I mean, it just makes the baseball league that much better if you start adding a Florida State, Clemson, North Carolina, I mean, man, there's a lot going on. It gets the SEC into lacrosse. I mean, there's a lot in play. I mean, it's like, what all, I would love to know what is really going on in those conversations, because I can assure you that there is, those dudes are talking, and they're trying to decide, all right, how are we going to square this deal? Should we just branch off? And look, the real reason I want to know is I'm a Mississippi State guy. I want to make sure we got a chair. We don't fit, baby. It is what it is, you know?
I think the Big 12, this is a gambling podcast, so we won't go deep into it, but I think your mark is probably the most seasoned media official in the mix right now, right? I mean, his background is that. And so this sports thing is new. Obviously, Sankey's probably the most powerful person in there. And then you've got whoever's running the Big Ten at this point. But point to this is I think your mark has been aggressive, and I think he's got opportunity. He's got offers out there. And I could see the Big 12 trying to just absorb the Pac-12. And it would be interesting because you'd end up with a 20-team league that would be coast-to-coast, which he's been pretty vocal about that. And, you know, that sounds crazy until you realize that USC and UCLA are going to play Rutgers in Maryland. You know, maybe not next year, but at some point they're going to be traveling across the country to play conference games.
Yep.
And so the days of regionality is completely over. It's about money. It's about TV contracts. It's about the brand. And the other thing that's interesting to me, people don't know, but I'm sure a lot of people know if they're listening to this podcast, but is, you know, the championship deal with 12 teams in it, it's only for 2 years, and then they're renegotiating after that year. And if you're the SEC and the Big Ten, you're like, hey, bro, we ain't giving 6 seats away to these chump chain. You know, Coosa's not getting a seat, you know. And you're kind of nudging at this point. It's like the Big 12's not getting a seat, because you take Texas and Oklahoma out of the Big 12, and frankly, it's fairly irrelevant. And I think you've got a lot of good teams that can play, but there's nobody left in that conference currently that could make a legitimate run at a national championship.
You think if you add Washington and Oregon to the Big Ten, and then you did exactly what you said. Let's just say they choose to go. I mean, candidly, where I would go if I was sitting in that seat is probably more Virginia than Duke. But let's say they go Duke, North Carolina, Clemson, and Florida State, because it's easy. There's actually a couple of teams I wouldn't do if I were running that. But do you make a gigantic basketball league?
I don't know.
I mean, it's a, you know, so there's a lot of things at play, and all those go into the hard numbers that candidly none of us have really got.
Yeah.
And that at this point, that's what they're looking at and networks are driving it. I think I do think the SEC's next big play is a streaming service, whether it's Apple, whether it's Prime, or whoever, one of the big streamers is going to get some of those games. I truly believe that. And I think that's where their next big pay bump comes from, because they got fan bases that'll pay. You offer a $9.99 subscription service to get SEC games, and every SEC fan in America is buying it. And the Big Ten has that same advantage because they got a bunch of fans too. At the end of the day, what's happened to the Pac-12, when we'll start talking about game, their own fans don't care. They don't go to games. Oh, there's more to do out here. Bull. You don't care. When I go to the beach for Labor Day, guess what I'm doing? I'm watching football all day. When I'm in the mountains, guess what I'm doing? I'm watching football all day. New Year's Eve, skiing, whole family, everybody. Oh, what time are you leaving? I'm like, not watching football today. You either love to watch it and you love it and you gamble on it and you talk about it, or you don't. And at the end of the day, the bulk of those fan bases don't care. And that's why their league is imploding. So let's talk about over under one.
Pac-12, you got some interesting stuff going on out there. When you look at the conference, first thing you got to look at is obviously USC is the darling in that conference, and their schedule is interesting in that fact it is very soft to open the season. They're easily going to be 6-0 before they run into anything. San Jose State, they play week 0, and then they don't play another team that had a winning record again until they get to the middle of October, when they have to go to Notre Dame. And the reason I bring this up is I think their schedule is going to be their downfall. They've got, without a bye, they've got at Notre Dame, they host Utah, who's Utah has owned these guys the last few times. And I also think when you look at USC and UCLA, they're leaving the conference. I think Texas and Oklahoma are going to get everybody's best shot in the Big 12. Like, they're pissed about it. I don't know that the Pac-12 even cares, but I think USC has been kind of becoming the Texas out there. They've always been the front runner. I think USC is going to get everybody's best shot. And so as they roll out of here, they finish the season at Notre Dame, Utah, at Cal, which you never know what you're going to get from Justin Wilcox. They've got UW coming there at Oregon, and then they finish with UCLA. So they go from playing nobody to realistically having a six-week strain where it's going to be a dogfight in every single one of those games for that team to win. Defense is what it's all going to come down to. Offensively, I think they're going to be explosive. I look for them to be one of the highest-scoring teams in the country this season. Defensively, I just don't know that they've got the dogs to get it done. So I haven't played anything on them, but that's easily going to be the team that gets the most notoriety in the Pac-12. And where I went with my first bet in the Pac-12 is I took UW at plus 350 to win the conference. I like Michael Penix. I like Kalen DeBoer. I thought this team got better as the season went on last year. This team's more physical. And again, their schedule's a lot like, you know, is a lot like USC season's very backloaded and getting it done. But because there's no conference alignments here, I think UW could be one of the two teams that makes it in there. And I don't like Utah this year. As much as I like Whittingham and the consistency they put out, I don't know if Cam Rising's going to play. I know he was at Media Days. I know everybody's saying, oh, he's good. Go back and look up Google Cam Rising highlights and go look at the USC game. He makes a run in the USC game where he gets his helmet fucking knocked off and gets up, was out one play, comes back in, he's rolling. In the Rose Bowl, he was such a physical part. And he's been like that since he took over for Charlie Brewer 2.5 years ago. And I just don't know what you're going to get if he doesn't play. And if he does play, how banged up is he? And their schedule's tough. I mean, they've got Florida coming up, and I know everybody's kind of laughing at Florida. That's going to be a physical game. Then they got to go to Baylor, who I don't think is great, but it's just an odd set. And then with, you know, UCLA and Oregon State, so they've got some tough front-end schedules in their game. So UW is the only bet I've made so far, and I took them at plus 350 to win the conference.
Yeah, I like your UW play. I like those guys too. I'll tell you this, the Pac-12, this league to me is setting up as possibly the best two or three teams to not make a playoff. I could see some 10-2s,
yeah,
and some 9-3s, and there'd be some really good football teams. One thing that concerns me about USC, look, man, they're good.
Yeah.
And they are super good on offense. You know they're going to be good. Caleb Williams is a great player. They got everything rolling out there. They're getting ready to, you know, I think this is a good football. I think this is a really good football team. That defense, though, created a bunch of turnovers last year. And I forget their turnover margin, but it was like gigantic. I mean, it was like 35 or some plus 35. I mean, they were gigantic. They're not going to turn the football over like that again. That is not how the ball bounces. And look, part of the reason they did that is because they didn't turn it over a bunch. I mean, Caleb Williams was really good. I mean, the dude only had 4 interceptions and he was flinging it every other play.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, he's really good. So that's part of the reason they don't turn it. But man, that's just not the way football works. You don't get those kinds of breaks. It's the same thing with injuries. You go injury free one next year. Like, I love these stats of offensive line injuries, like snaps missed for injury, and what they've got coming back. You show me a team that had 90% of their snaps with their starter, and they got 5 of them coming back, 3 of them going to be gone by the end of September. That's
right.
Just the way football works. It's, I don't know why. It's odd. It's crazy. It just is what it is. And championship teams, a lot of times, you know, return lots of guys. So that's my concern on USC. I think they're going to be really good. I agree with you. Their schedule, look, they play 3 out of 4. They come off a bye week, play back-to-back road games, home game against what I think is going to be an improved Arizona football team. Then they're at Notre Dame, Utah, and then on the road at what I think is a bad Cal team. But you're going on the road after that stretch. That could be, woo, that, you talk about a hot mess. mean, that's a season-ending kind of game. And then you got, because you got Washington, which is going to be a gigantic game waiting on them on deck, then at Oregon, and then UCLA to end. I agree with you. The backside of the schedule, really tough. At the end of the day, they play, what, five road games? Yeah, five road games in 9 weeks.
Yeah.
They end the season with nine straight games. That is not a good way to end a ball game, way to end the season. That's how you start losing ball games, because you start getting guys banged up. That's how you lose games you shouldn't. I think they're a great football team. I don't want any part of this over-under win total, though, even though I think they are really, really good. Utah is exactly what you said. Not a huge fan of their of what's going on. Love this program. Love everything they do. But yeah. I'll be honest with you. I'm playing this. I'm playing under. I'm not playing over. I don't think they're going. I don't know if this is a 9-win football team. Could be, but Rising, as you said, has got to be great from the start. I think Oregon, same thing. This over-under win total scares me. That Tech game is fascinating to me. When they go to Texas Tech week two, we've talked about this ad nauseum on our podcast. Bo Nix on the road is a different quarterback than Bo Nix at home. That happened a time or two last year, too. Now, he turned it around. Was that the Oregon State game when he lit it up? He played well. Anyway, he went on the road. Same thing. Struggled first half. Then turned around, played really well in the second half. Tech's going to be zeused. Literally every Texas Tech fan I know, including you, is going to this game. I mean, every person I know. And so, I mean, I think it's going to be zeused up. My Oregon friends that live in the neighborhood are going to the ball game. I think this game's going to be packed. I think it's going to be wild. See how he plays. But, again, I think this is a really good football team. I think Lanning's got them in a really, really good spot. I like these guys. I think this is going to be a good football team. But do they win 9.5, 10 games? You look at this schedule, I think to get over 9, they got to win at Tech. Because they're at Washington, they're at Utah, and I think that's the key. I think those are the games, because I think they could very easily lose both those games. They could obviously lose USC at home. And in Oregon State at home, I think they're going to be a good football team too. But so does Vegas, based on that over-under win total with Ungla Lele. So this is a fascinating league at the top end. And I love Washington. And I didn't even get to who with you, I think, is the favorite to win the Pac-12 because of that schedule. This over-under win total is one that I think is one that I'm taking, because I think this is at 9. Because they play at Michigan State. They're going to drill Michigan State.
That
game's
too.
Not going to be close. Can't wait to see that line. I think we're going to win some cheese on that deal. I think there's just a significantly better football team than Michigan State. And then they same deal. And I do love the Pac-12 has loaded this back end of the schedule. November's going to be end of October, and then November's going to be a lot of fun in this league with a lot of really good games every week. So it's good. This is going to be an exciting league to watch. I'm really looking forward to it. I think the team that's got a chance that probably nobody's talking about to get over, I like this Arizona team Fish is doing. He's recruiting well in state. Feels like he's got momentum. This is, as I said, got exciting quarterback play. I think they've got a chance to be better. Jaden Delora is a lot of fun to watch. So I think this team's got a chance to be better. A lot of transfers.
Yeah.
They lost a lot of guys. They brought a lot of guys in. So I do think – but I think overall this is a better football team. But, boy, it is a wild card on offense.
Yeah.
But they're the team that I think has got a chance to make some things happen. But two huge games for them are at Mississippi State and then UTEP at home. You'll be stunned when I tell you, UTEP's a much better football team this year. So Demel's doing a really good job out there. Don't think they have the ability to win that game, but that could be much closer than the experts think as we start talking about betting getting down the road. So what are your other thoughts on the Pac-12? I will take under on California and 5. I did leave that over. I'm taking them under 5 wins. Not a fan of that Cal football team.
I like under Stanford. I think Stanford, over under Stanford is 3, most plays 3.5. I mean, the only games Stanford, in my opinion, has a chance to win are going to be Hawaii, Sac State, at Colorado. Pat, I can't see this team winning. Their roster's a mess. I mean, what talent they did have left on it after the David Shaw regime ended, it ejected. I mean, the tackles and now tackler guard is at Oklahoma. I mean, they lost several guys in the trench. But
so yeah, Emmett's kid's the only kid that's still there.
Yeah, and so I mean, you know, I kind of lean under there. Colorado, we can't not talk about it because that's what they built the whole thing around. I'm going to be very objective here. So Prime comes in. Obviously, there's a whole circus around him. I get that. His coaching staff's pretty good. I mean, I like
it. It is good.
I really like what he did with the coordinators. You know, the roster, he catches some flack. But I think he kind of looked at it, it's like, look, I'm going to try to reboot this thing and get it to where I want to get it as fast as possible. And let's go. I mean, because this was a terrible football team last year. I mean, easily the worst Power 5 football team. And I would tell you one of the worst teams in the country. And so you've got a couple of players in here. I mean, they've got some good transfers in. Some of them got some PT. Some of them didn't. You know, his son would probably be a Power 5 quarterback had he not followed his dad. You know, the Travis Hunter kid or whatever his name was, that he would probably be – obviously, he was the best player in the country, and he went there. They've talked about using him both ways. But – But the one spot, Colorado, you can't build in 1 year. You can't almost build it in two or three, is the trench. And the Pac-12 is not known for being strong in the trench to begin with. And so if you're Colorado, I mean, legitimately, their over-unders at 3.5. I lean hard to the under in this, but you're going to have to put some juice down on it. But look at their schedule at TCU. Then they get a new Nebraska at home with Matt Rhule. You know he's got that game circled. And then Colorado State, who I think is one of the most improved teams in the Mountain West. I think they're going to be much better. And then after that, you just roll into the Pac-12. They catch Stanford on a Friday night, but you know, at home. But even their road games, it's like, I don't know, man. I mean, they legitimately could start this season and not win a game until the middle of October. If they can't do anything in these first three games, Colorado may not win a game until the middle of October when they play Stanford. And by then, no one's going to be talking about them. And it's interesting, too, that, you know, looking at Deion, and he grabbed a couple of recruits pretty early in the cycle, but even their high school recruiting's really started to slow down just in the last couple of weeks, if you're following this. I know he's got some physical ailments, and I'm looking forward to seeing him on the sideline and seeing how this works. And you know what the experiment is. You've got Colorado's doing it with Prime, UAB's doing it with Trent Dildo, and so I'm looking forward to it. But at the same time, realistically, I can't see this team winning four games this season.
I got to tell you, you talked about transfers. I mean, this roster, would they? I mean, isn't it? I mean, it's teams that they've got.
Oh yeah,
it's like that actually signed with Colorado on this roster.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's just nobody. Everybody's gone. They got two starters from Kent State on the offensive line. They're bringing in transfers from Missouri State, but we're not talking about all Alabama transfers and Auburn
there
transfers.
Are some.
Look, my guess is both those offensive linemen from Kent are pretty good players because the offensive coordinator's from Kent. He knows what he's doing. I mean, Sean Lewis did a really good job at Kent State. I agree with you. I like the hire. I think they're a disaster. I agree with you. I think they're going under. Look, man, there's a difference in coaching 1AA, you know, in the SWAC versus rolling out in what is one of the – no, not one of. It's the top-heaviest league in the country. There's some really good football teams at the top end of this – at the end of this. There's four what I would call – really good football teams in USC and Utah and Oregon and Washington. And UCLA ain't much behind that because I think they're going to be a really good football team too before we get off of them. So, I mean, there's five what I think are really good football teams in this league. And then you got Arizona State and Arizona fighting like dogs to get ahead.
Yeah,
that are clawing and scratching and going, I just think this is a bad year for these guys. I think it doesn't end up well. And I am out like you on this season with Colorado. I think they go under that 3.5 win total.
Yeah, I would lean that way just because it's – you look at their schedule and all the hoopla, I can get around that, but their schedule's tough. And as you start going through it, they don't have roster depth that other teams do. And you start getting banged up with some injuries and different things and – I mean, you know, they play one – what do they play? They play seven games before they catch a bye. And that seventh game is Stanford on a Friday night. So they're coming off the road at Arizona State, and then they have Stanford at home on that Friday. And it's just it's not a great spot for me. And Stanford's coming off of a bye before they play them. And so if this team starts taking some licks and can't get it done in these first three games where they've got TCU, Nebraska, Colorado State, I don't know where the wins come from. And so I would lean under 3.5, even with heavy juice. And if you get yourself in a pickle, somehow they have three wins. I mean, at the end of it, you've got Oregon State, Arizona, and USC. I mean, you could hedge out of that spot. I cannot see this team winning four games.
Yeah, I agree with you. The team that I really don't, because I really do like the Cameron Ward, but I just do not have a read on Washington State.
I don't either.
I really don't.
No, I don't either.
And I just can't figure out what I'm going to get out of those guys. And I will just tell you, that's a if I'm taking it, I'm taking under. But I don't know what I get. They could put, look, anytime you got good quarterback play, you know, you got a guy returning that started 13 games, completed 64% of his passes. You got a chance to be a good football team. I mean, that's the deal. And I can't get sold on this team. And I don't want to dodge out of this league either until we talk about Oregon State. Because I think they're going to be a fun team to talk about. That over-under win total is, I think, right about where it should be at 8, but it's higher than I thought it would be. And I thought we might be able to get that at 7.5. And I know everybody's like, well, it's just a half point. That's the difference in winning and not to me. And because I think this probably is an 8 or 9 win football team. I really like Jonathan Smith. And look, he went to school there. He knows how to win there. We talked about this. I think Ungalalele is a really, really good player. I think he needed to get out of Clemson. I think you said it right earlier in the podcast. He just was filled with a lot of junk. This was the best defense in the league statistically last year. Like if you ask every college football fan, what was the best defense in the Pac-12 last year, they just said Utah. Just off the cuff. Nobody's realizing how good this Oregon State defense is and how good of a job Jonathan Smith is doing coaching this football team. They got a lot of players back, got a lot of people up front, got some skilled guys back. They like to run football, got a really good sophomore running back in Damian Martinez. So I like this football team. I think these guys got a chance to make some hay. I think, again, they're a good football team that nobody's talking about that could slide up into that upper echelon. They have the ability to repeat 10 wins again. You know, really what I think is a really, really good conference. So anyway, I think that's my read on the Pac-12 as I see it. You know, my bets are going to be Oregon State, and I'm taking a flyer on Arizona. I think they pop up. I think they're the team that bounces up. I just hope it is not at the demise of my Bulldogs because we play them week 2.
It's like Baylor's got Utah. Baylor's not very good, so we'll see. But, I'm looking forward to seeing how this league plays out. I think the quarterback play is going to be fantastic. Now, after listening to you talk, I have to go home and figure out how I'm going to watch the damn thing. We'll have to get all that stuff wired in. Folks, that being said.
Well, the problem with the league is their own, you know, they got some of those games at 11 o'clock on Fox and no. – Well, man, there's other stuff I may be watching at 11. You know? I mean, that's the truth. It sucks that some of these games aren't on at night when they ought to be. You can't find some of these night games. They still got one more year left, right, with ESPN. Isn't this it?
I think so.
They've still got the Pac-12 after dark with ESPN this year, and then we're a wait and see after that. But, I mean, the bulk of the league, a lot of the league games you're not going to see.
Yeah. Watching football in general is going to be interesting this season because once you get to October, CUSA starts playing on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. And then, of course, by the time you get to November, now the whole MAC's playing then. And so it's basically once you get to, like, the second week of October, if you like the NFL, you can watch football 7 days a week because it's on every single day. And
yeah, it is going to be so fabulous. Now we get 2 months of nonstop football instead of one. It's going to be great, Mark.
Oh boy, I mean, I'm trying to find a Pac-12 TV schedule, and it's literally not published yet. Like, there's no game times on. I mean, on the Pac-12. Listen how stupid this is. If you go to middle of October, week 9, Oregon State at Arizona, no channel, no start time. Oregon, Utah, no channel, no start time. How on earth can you be a fan of this conference? And I mean, these are like real games, and I know they're not waiting to get slotted because they don't know when they're going to play. And so it's a
real game. I mean, those aren't average games. I mean, that's not CUSA, UTEP, and Sam Houston State, which we'll get at some point during the year. That is a real football game.
Yeah.
That bettors and college football fans want to watch, and yeah. we're gonna all need to go to a sports book to get it.
Oh, it's gonna be funny, Scott. That being said, we have wrapped up the 5 power conferences. We doubled them up. We've got the group of 5s coming back. We've got a handful of weeks before we get into week 0, week 1 game of the year line. So we're gonna be breaking those down with hopes being we can get you some look ahead action on some of these lines because. The college lines will get – I mean, week 1 lines are going to get beat to death. Do you have any week 1 bets yet that you're willing to put out there?
Not that I have not studied those lines enough yet, candidly. And I can't believe I hadn't because normally I have by now. So, no. But I promise by the next time we record, I will dig into that and, yes, find a couple of nuggets because there are some good games that weekend that I think you've got a chance to provide a little value.
First game I bet, Scotty. I think it could be on my first Moneyline parlay leg that we're going to put out every single week is I got Ohio plus 4 at San Diego State. I think Ohio's got a great chance to win the MAC.
They finally busted this year and win the MAC, I believe it.
I mean, it's going to come down to them and Toledo. But this San Diego State team, I think, takes a step back a little bit. I'm not a big Brady Hope fan, personally. And I think this Ohio offense is going to be explosive with Rourke coming back for his 17th year. So I've got a little Ohio at plus 4. Line's still painted out there at 3.5. You're going to laugh at this one. I really want Vandy to go under 17. And I think they just boat race Hawaii.
They'll steamroll Hawaii.
So that one's pretty interesting. But, yeah, there's a couple of interesting games in week 0. If I could get UConn plus 17, I'd probably snag a little bit of that. But, no, I'm looking forward to it. College football is literally right around the corner. There's opportunities out there. Look at that Florida game, dude. Line's down to 7.5. I mean, that line opened at 10, and it's been all the way down to 6. I guarantee you somebody knows something about Cam Rising not playing in that game for that thing to sneak all the way down. And the last tidbit I'm going to throw out there, Big 12, we didn't talk about it. I'm going under on Iowa State. I talked to some folks, and I think this gambling thing that's in Iowa could have some legs to it, and there may be some players suspended for games or season that were for the whole, you know, gambling on themselves or gambling on sports that are out there. So I took a little snippet. Plus, I don't think Iowa State's going to be very good, but I took a little snippet at under 4.5 before that thing took off and got wildly juiced.
Man, that's news right there. I'll tell you what, gambling is a – man, this is a Pandora's box. You know, I love it, but I sure do think it was a lot less risky when it was just, you know, below board. I think all these kids, college kids, having access to these apps and everything, man, I think it's a recipe for disaster.
That being said, folks, like us, share us. I should have done this at the beginning of the pod. Give us a review. Get us over 50 reviews. We got 48 reviews. We're almost at a 5-star. Give us a couple of reviews. Share us with your friends. Get us out there. We've got a lot of good content coming up in the following weeks. We look forward to being back with you. Talk to you soon.